I want to jump right into the Word. So open, if you would, to the book of Genesis. Hopefully I don't need to tell you where that's at. I've got way more content. I've got way more on my heart than I've got time this morning to share. So I'm going to do the very best that I can to get it out of me and into you. Here's the good news is we're kicking off a brand new series. And so over the next several weeks, we're calling this series, Hello, My Name Is. And so it's going to be rich. And right in the middle of my wife and I preaching this message, we're going to have Prophet David Wagner, who's been a part of our house for many, many years. He's going to come on Father's Day weekend and preach an incredible message tied into this series. Hello, my name is Son. And so you're not going to want to miss the next few weeks and what God's doing and building on the inside of us. Here's what I do know is that there is an all-out war on who we are. Amen? And so my wife preached a message, this has been probably a month or two ago. If you remember, we started talking about our values, and she was talking about the value of belonging, the value of family, the power of family. And it's one of the core things that we are absolutely staking our house on, that we must belong to a family, amen? That we must belong to something that's bigger than us. But how many know just because we state it, just because we believe it, just because we walk in it, doesn't mean it's going to come without a fight. And so my prayer, our prayer this morning and over the next few weeks, that if our church can ever somehow, some way grab a hold of who Christ says you are, who the Bible says you are, rather than what world or culture, your mama, your daddy, your broken relationships, your broken marriage, your busted and disgusted situation, whatever your fears, your failures, and your flaws are, I believe that we will transform our church. Hello? Now you're going to have to preach back at me, y'all. Because I believe this could be potentially one of the most transformative series that we will ever do, certainly this year. And that is, who are we? Who are we? And so I want to start. There's a lot of places that I can jump in. There's a lot of areas we're going to cover over the next few weeks. But I can't think of a better place to start than, what does God say I am? Is that all right, y'all? Because at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what you say I am. It really doesn't matter what I think I am. What do you say I am? God, what do you say about me? For you see, people find their identity in all sorts of things other than God. Think about it. People find their identity in what they do. If you walk up to somebody and say, hey, tell me about yourself. Well, I'm a plumber. I'm a banker. I'm a housewife. I'm a teacher. I'm a student. I'm a pastor, whatever it may be. I didn't ask what you did. I asked, who are you? Amen? We find our identity in our experiences. Well, I've been recovering. I'm an addict. Or I've been abused or abandoned. Or I'm a widow. Whatever the experience in life may be. People find also their experiences or their identity can oftentimes get rooted in other things. It can get rooted in performance. Oftentimes people feed who they are based on whether people, great job. And if they don't get that, somehow, some way, their identity gets jacked up because their identity is based on the applause of men or for women, amen? Once again, nothing wrong with getting an attaboy or an attagirl, but when that becomes my identity, that is wrong, you guys. That's how we get goofed up. Amen? And so I want to go back to the Word of God. I want us as a church, as you as believers, as you as sons and daughters, men and women, I want you to know that our identity is based on who God really is and who God says you are. That's it. Who God is and who God says I really am. I want to point this out, and this is going to be one of those duh moments for all of us. Satan does not want you to know who you are. Amen? He doesn't want you to know who you are. He wants your identity in Christ. He wants your identity that you carry with you. He wants that to be a hot mess. Have you noticed? We live in a culture today in which the enemy has lied, cheated, stolen from people's identity. I talked about this a few weeks ago in a message about Angie and I's experience with identity theft. I don't have time this morning to talk about that. But identity theft from a physical perspective is rampant. I would also argue identity theft from a spiritual perspective is absolutely an epidemic. Amen? So that's why we have to preach the whole truth, the whole gospel. We must preach the truth, and it's found in the Word of God. Come on, get there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 through 28. See, here's the key in this scripture that I'm about to read. The Bible says that you are like God, and you're supposed to be like God. Let's read it. It says, then God said, I think I did a message about that. God said, yeah, that was a good message. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image. Do you underline things in your Bible? I sure hope you do, or on your iPhone. Then God said, let us make human beings in our image to be like us. They will reign over the fish in the sea, the birds in the sky, the livestock, all the wild animals on the earth, and the small animals that scurry along the ground. Verse 27, underline this. So God created human beings in his own, what's that word? Shout it, in his own what? He made human beings in his own image. And in the image of God, he created them both male and female. He created them. Here's the truth. I want you to write this down. You are like God, and you're supposed to be like God. Let me unpack this for you in the next few minutes. For you see, we were created to mirror God. The Bible says, let us make man in our own image, after our own likeness. For see, we are like God in many ways, whether you believe that or not, it's true. It's absolutely true. So what is God like, and how am I connected to the creation story? If you think about what kind of God that God is, God's a creator. So he allows us to be creative. God speaks, God says, the Bible says. So he allows us to have breath. He allows us to have the ability to speak. It says, the Bible says, God is what? God is love. And the last thing is, God's perfect. You won't get any better than God, amen? I talked about that in a message a few weeks ago about the characteristics of God. God is perfect. He's the standard, amen? Not whatever famous person I'm trying to chase. He's the standard that I want to be after. For you see, God looked six, he declared six times in chapter 1 of Genesis, verses 3, 10, 12, 18, 21, and 25. He looked at what he did, and he said, man, that's good. I don't know about you, but I want to serve a God. When he looks at you and I, he says, that's good. Hello? How many have ever? If your husbands or wives, depending on your situation at home, with who cooks? I don't cook, y'all. I clean up the kitchen. We have this unspoken rule. My wife is an amazing cook, by the way. She can cook. When I first met her, she couldn't even make a salad. Is that a true story? Yeah, her mom is verifying that in case you're wondering. Couldn't even chop up lettuce, y'all. That's pretty bad. That's why I had to date her for 5 years. No, I'm just kidding. No, I'm not kidding about the salad part. She couldn't make a salad. And so how many know that when you get in the kitchen with somebody that really knows how to cook, do we have any good cooks in the house? Like whether it's in the kitchen, whether it's on the grill, come on, y'all. Come on now. We got any grill masters in this house? All right. All right, so the last thing that you want somebody to walk up to your grill, and I can grill y'all, so come on over to the house. The last thing that you want when someone walks up to your grill and you've been working hard and like July 4th when it's like 90 degrees outside, it's you're just pouring sweat. You got a tent over your barbecue grill. You can tell I'm hungry a little bit. You're just working hard at it, and then the person that you love the most, she walks up and says, "That doesn't look good." Now, granted, she's never done that before, and I've never done that to her. Even if it doesn't look good, like tuna fish, I'm still going to say, well, that looks good. I'm just not going to eat it. Amen? But I thank God that we serve a God that walks up to you and I, looks at you and I, knows you and I, and he says, that's good. Hello? That's good. Because there's all these competing voices, there's all these competing things that even myself, I will look at the mirror and rather reflecting the image of God and saying what God says, instead I will look at all the fears, the flaws, all the imperfections. Can anybody have an amen? I will look at all the things that I'm not, all the things I should be, all the things I could be, all the things I want to be, and I will say something other than what God says, which is, that's good. Amen? I want a church to get that on the inside of us. God, what do you say? You said in your word. Thank you for one of you. God, I don't care. I don't care what's around me. I don't care what my mama said. I want you to say over my life, that's good. That's good. Amen. I didn't talk about your behavior. I talked about you. Hello? Your behavior isn't your identity. Hello? God still thinks you're good even if you're running from him. Amen. God still believes that he made you in his image, that he did make you in his image, even though you are strung out, even though you're running from God, even if you're away from God, even if you're backslidden, even if you live in the finest house, God still says you are good. Amen? See, he's not interested in behavior modification. In this message, we're going to deal about identity. I believe it's going to change how we respond to God, how we walk through life that he's given us, but the core of who we are out of the inside of us. See, we're not supposed to be chasing an identity. Hello? We're supposed to walk in the identity that God gave us. Did you catch that? We're not supposed to be chasing something that we're not. We're supposed to be walking in how God has made you and I. For you see, we are made in his image and to be like us. Image and be like us are very visual words. God is a spirit. But the Bible also says that we are supposed to be conformed to the image of God's Son. And so how many know that Adam and Eve were the first humans? I don't have time this morning to go through that. But Adam and Eve were the first humans to fail to live up to God's standard. He said, don't touch that. And what did that woman do? I got in trouble big time for saying that a while ago, but it's okay. I feel safe with the microphone, and all the fellas in the house will protect me. So God set it up perfectly, amen? He said, man, this is good. This is good. This is good. This is, man, Adam, you're good. What I've created is good. Here's your opportunity to walk in perfect unison, to not be separated from me, to do everything that I've allowed you to do, I've created for you to do. You're created. But what happened? That woman. And so sin came into the world. That death came in at that moment of disobedience. Amen? And so right then, God had a plan already set up, and his name is Jesus. He already had a plan in place. He already had a plan in place, knowing that you and I are created not only in his image, but we're created to follow after him. And in that following process, y'all, if you haven't noticed, it's hard sometimes. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes we can get our identity jacked up by, once again, by what I do, the things I struggle with. But I got good news today. I'm not defined by what I do. I'm not defined by the mistakes I've made. I'm not defined by what other people say about me. God, I only want to know, what do you say about me? For you see, a mirror, you can look at a mirror and see your reflection. God holds up a mirror to you and I. And even when that mirror is cracked, even when that mirror is dented, even when that mirror is written on, God still says, you are made in the image of God. You're made good. Can I speak that over somebody this morning? That no matter what that mirror tells you, no matter what you say back to that mirror, my Bible, your Bible says that you are made, you are an image bearer. You bear the image of God and what he's put on the inside of you, woman of God, man of God, young person in the sound of my voice this morning. You are an image bearer. That is the most fundamental fact about you. The foundation of your identity is that you are an image bearer. You are like God. You're supposed to be like God, and you're supposed to reflect the image like a mirror to anyone watching in the world. Hey, listen, if they can't tell that you and I are image bearers, if God, they can't tell you that God has been doing a work on the inside of you, it doesn't change God's mind about who you are. Hello? It doesn't matter. It doesn't change God's mind about who you are. However, while I'm walking on planet Earth, I must walk in purpose. I must walk in destiny. I must walk in God's purpose. And God's purpose is for me to preach the gospel and make disciples, to be an image bearer of Him. Whether I'm in Walmart, whether I'm in my home, whether I'm driving a car, it doesn't matter where I'm at. God, I reflect the image of you everywhere I go. Can I have an amen? I reflect the image everywhere I go. Whether I'm sitting at a stoplight, whether I get rear-ended by a car, whether the air conditioning goes out in our car, driving back from LaGrange, Georgia yesterday, a 3-hour drive turned into a 4.5-hour drive with no air conditioning. My wife, as patient as she is, as loving as she is, by hour 3.5 driving in a car, she was over the fact that there was no air conditioning. I guarantee you, if there was a car lot nearby, she would have traded our car in right then and right there. I always made fun of the people driving down the interstate with their windows rolled down and kids sticking their hands out and dads sticking their hands out. I was one of those folks yesterday. I was trying to breathe in all the cold air that you can possibly suck up with the windows down. Amen? Thank God it wasn't raining, because that was going to be really difficult, y'all. How many of you know we're supposed to be an image bearer no matter what's happening in our circumstances around us? Hello? No matter how much hell is breaking loose in your life, no matter what you're about to face tomorrow, no matter about what you went through last week, we're supposed to be an image bearer for Christ, for God. Let me keep going. For you see, there's this definition I found, the definition between self-image and identity. I know this, having been a youth pastor for several years and working with middle school and obviously raising two amazing young ladies. And that is this truth, that there is an all-out assault on how the image of how our young people see themselves. But what the Bible said in Genesis, the Bible said that God made man and woman. God made male and female, and it was what? And it was good. But you see, there's an all-out assault when we don't preach the truth in love, when we don't share our faith, when we don't demonstrate it, then there becomes chaos. There becomes craziness. Even our own kids, there's a statistic that says when a young person grows up in a home and they don't have a mom or a dad, whether it's a natural mom or dad or even a spiritual mom or dad, there's a high probability that somehow, someway, their identity is going to be messed up. That's why God designed male and female, amen? That's why God designed each of them have specific roles, why they're graced in certain ways. I'm a dad. I don't have some of the things, some of the ways that my wife nurtures our kids, and vice versa. Can I have an amen? That's why it's important for the church to fill up the gap, knowing that we live in a cursed world, knowing that we live in a broken world. We need spiritual dads. We need spiritual moms to fill in. Amen? To get outside of our little bubble and to say, God, how can you use me to somehow, some way pour identity, truth, hope, love, compassion, kindness? How can I train that young woman about how to become a young woman? Hello? Just go in the mall today. Go anywhere today, and you will see young men and young women that they need some spiritual parents. Hello? They need spiritual parents. I mean, you know, kids, no matter how headstrong they are, no matter how independent they are, no matter how educated they are, they still need spiritual parents. Can I have an amen? Hey, listen, moms and dads, can I just empower you today? Can I empower you today that it doesn't matter how old your child gets, you're still their mom? you're still their dad. And you still have a role to play. You have a role to play with your natural kids, and you have a role to play in your spiritual kids in this house. If I did a show of hands this morning, how many of you came from some type of broken home where a single mom or a single dad or a grandma or a granddad had to raise you? You would be startled at the statistic. That's how much the world or the church is starting to mirror what the world says. It's roughly 55 to 60% today, right now, in this house. I guarantee you it would be well over half. But that doesn't mean I have to stay there, amen? That doesn't mean I have to be, I'm going to be identified by being a single mom or a single dad or raised by a single mom or single dad, because I have so much compassion for dads and for moms that raise kids by themselves. I don't know how you do it. And I'm so thankful that you do. Amen. But there's a responsibility on the church today. Can I have an amen? There's a responsibility on you and I to somehow, some way, circle around these young men, these young women, teach them, train them, equip them. Hey, I'm believing God, I've said it, I'm believing God that our house is full of young people, but where there's a lot of young people, there's gonna be a lot of dysfunction, amen? There's gonna be a lot of needs. There's gonna be a lot of kids that don't even know how to wear their pants on correctly. They don't know how to open a Bible. They've never seen a Bible. They may have heard of God, but they don't know where to start. That's on you and I, you guys. And I can't do it all. I don't want to do it all, because I have two girls that I still have to raise, amen? But if we do it together, hello? If we do it as a church, I'm telling you, we can transform not just the young people that are going to come through those doors, but on every college campus, every high school, every middle school, every elementary. Can I have an amen? I'm thankful that God has not given up on our young people. Even though it feels like at times they've abandoned God. God hasn't changed his mind. Why? Because he looked at them and said, they are what? They're good. Whew. They are good. Let me keep going. And we're going to wrap this up. I want to give you the definition of self-image and identity. Self-image is the way that you see yourself. Identity is the way that you truly are. Self-image, the way that you see yourself. Write that down. Identity is the way that you truly are. Let me tell you what God says about you and I. And if what is coming out of our mouth, what is coming out of our actions, what is coming out of our walk, if it doesn't line up to just these few verses that I picked out of the Bible, I could have shoved a lot more in here, and we'll get to more. But if what comes out of my mouth doesn't line up to what God says in his image, then I'm going to give you a few steps to hopefully, I believe, change that conversation inside of your mind. So what does Genesis say? Genesis says, we read it, I am made in God's image. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14, it says, I am wonderfully complex. I will state for the record, some of y'all are more complex than others. You'll get that later. Isaiah 43 says, I have called you by name, you are mine. That's a message in itself. When God says, I have called you by name, by Tim, no, something greater than Tim, something bigger than Tim. I've called you by name, and then God makes this declaration, you are mine. So when I feel like no one wants me, when I feel abandoned, rejected, I just lean on Isaiah, I lean on this verse, and I say, God, you know my name, and you are mine. Romans 6:6 says, you are no longer a slave to sin. I'm no longer a slave, but I'm a son. John 1:12 says, you are God's child. 1 Peter 2:9 says, you were chosen. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. 2 Corinthians 5 says, you are a new creation. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, got to be in Christ, first of all. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Those are just a few verses. If the conversation that's coming out of your mind, coming out of your heart, if it doesn't line up to what God says, who you are, who your identity is, then let's change it right now. I believe at the end of this message, God is gonna supernaturally change what's coming out of your mind, your heart, your soul. He's gonna heal some things. Here you go. First practical step. We talk about this in Freedom Weekend, which, by the way, we'll have a Freedom Weekend coming up here in August. And the men have been talking about identity quite a bit over the last month or two. And so the first thing that we hammer away at a men's or a women's Freedom Weekend is this action step. I have to identify the lies in my mind. Write that down, y'all. I have to identify the strongholds or the lies that are in my mind. For you see, I know that a lie has somehow, some way formed in me, and therefore is forming my belief system. If words like this come out of my mouth, I am a failure. No, you're not. God made you what? Shout it. God made you what? I am a failure is behavior modification. It's what I do. Remember, we're not defined by what we do. We're defined by what God says I am. God says I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God says I am formed in his image. God said I am good. Amen? So how can I be a failure? My behavior may be a failure, but I am not a failure. Hello? I want to separate. I want to pull those things apart because that is a lie that has been planted on the inside of your mind, your heart, and even your soul. If you hear words such as my body, the shape of my body, the looks that I have compared to others, that's all outward stuff, you guys. The Bible talks about that God doesn't really care about what you are on the outside. God cares about what? What's on the inside of you. The measure of your character is not what you do. The measure of your character is who you are. Who you are is what God says I am. What does God say I am? God says I'm what? God says I'm good. Amen. See, there's this lie that somehow, some way, that whenever I run into issues, no matter what season I walk through, Angie and I talk about this all the time. I call it the one room theory. When you hear words like this coming out of your mouth, you know that God is there is a lie being planted on the inside of your mind, and it's not from God. When the voice says something like this, all, never, no one. Anytime, everyone. Can anybody relate? When that voice starts speaking out of you, that's a lie, y'all. No one will ever love me. Every time this happens to me, all people are against me. I'll never do that again. I'll never get hurt again. When you use those words, those are lies that the enemy has planted on the inside of your mind, and it has to stop. Amen? It is destructive. It is counter God, because God says that you are not defined by who, what, when, where, how. You are defined by his image, him. Are you with me, you guys? Man, I feel this in my heart this morning. I feel someone using those words, all, never, everyone, anytime. I call it once again the all room theory. I haven't published a book about that, but I surely should, because I have so many examples, not just from what Angela and I will have some passionate conversations about, but I do it as well. Amen. When she'll walk into the room, literally it will just be a few dishes in the kitchen, and she'll say, this whole house, all of this house is a mess. Guys, can I have an amen? I'm saying, but honey, it's just a sink. There's a few days. Oh no, this whole house is a mess. The whole house? Yes, the whole house. I'm like, really? Really? At that point, I really should just go put the dishes away, but God's working on me, y'all. I push back. I'm like, I just took out the trash. I cleaned the dog. I fed the dog. Da, 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 da. Yeah, but the dishes are still dirty. The whole house. Come on, y'all. When you use the words all, never, anyone, everyone, when you feel that starting to rise up on the inside of you, come on, you guys. Recognize that is a lie from, that is a voice of the enemy, and that is not God. Are you hearing me? That is not the voice of a God that loves you, believes you, and believes that you are what? That you're good. I feel that in my spirit, to change our words, change our thoughts. Amen? Change what's coming out of here so it changes what's coming out of here. Change what's in here, Lord, Holy Spirit, change what's in here, so this changes. I'm gonna say it one more time. Holy Spirit, we give you permission this morning to change what's in here, so Lord, you will affect what's coming out of here. Lord, I thank you, Father God, you will shut the voice of the enemy that's in here or in here in order to change what's coming out of here. Amen. Why? Because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in God's image, and God says I'm what? God says I'm good. Thank you, Jesus. What lie have you believed about yourself, your circumstances, even about God himself? How he deals with me as a child. Craig and I talk about this as we walk through Men's Freedom Week, and he's notorious for doing this with a bunch of guys, and it's amazing. As we're having ministry moments, whether it's down at this altar, whether it's at our men's roundtable on Wednesday night, whether it's at Men's Freedom Weekend, when that voice doesn't sound like the voice of a loving father, it's a lie. When that voice doesn't sound like the voice of a loving father to a lady, to a young lady, it's a lie. When that voice sounds counter to what the Word of God says, it's a lie, y'all. Measure it. Listen and shut it off in Jesus' name. Do you hear me? Man, if we can ever get a hold of this, you guys, if we can grab a hold of this today, let me get you the second one. So the first one is we have to identify, we have to get a hold of what are those strongholds and recognize those. The second practical step, if we're truly gonna know who my name is we have to confront the strongholds with the truth of God's word and the power of God's spirit. In other words, we have to take his word. We have to take his spirit, and we have to attack the very lies that's coming out. How many of you know that Satan has he has nothing good to say about you. He has no good plans for you. So we just recognize that. And so that's why we have to know what the word says, and we have to confront it. Because my tendency is to confront something that's coming against me or on the inside of me and try to fix me. I can't fix me. You can't fix you. Amen? Why? Because God is the only one that can bring healing, restoration, peace, love, healing to my soul. I can't do it. Drugs won't do it. Alcohol won't do it. Smoking won't do it. Cheating won't do it. Sleeping around won't do it. Pretending to be that I'm something that I'm not going to be won't do it. Hello? I have to confront the lies that are inside of me with the truth of God's word and God's spirit. Third one, I'm hurrying. Replace the strongholds or the lies with the truth. Who's the truth? Jesus. Bible says, I am the way, the truth, and the what? And the life. Here's examples. It says, when you say these words come out of you, well, I'm too tired. Matthew 11 says, I will give you rest. We're gonna do a series on, I've been reading a book when we went to Passion a few weeks ago. A pastor out of Washington, D.C. that pastors the Passion Church in Washington, D.C. He wrote an incredible book called Rest and War. Ooh, it's been good. I'm about halfway through it. It's good. We're gonna talk about how do you rest in God, but not today. It's impossible. When the words come out of your mouth, it's impossible. Luke 18 says, speak it back to him. All things are possible. When it says, nobody loves me, God says, I love you. When it says, I can't forgive myself, the Bible says, I forgive you, God says, amen? It's not worth it, that may come out of my mouth. But the Bible says, it is worth it, for all things work together for my good. When I say, I am not smart enough, God says, I will give you wisdom. Open the book of Proverbs. Proverbs is full of wisdom and understanding. When you say the words, I am not able, God says, I am able. When you say these words, I can't go on, the Bible says, my grace is sufficient. When I says, I can't do it, my Bible says, you can do all things through Christ who gives you the strength. When I say, I can't manage it, the Bible says, I will supply all. How many of your needs? All of your needs. When the words come out of my mouth, I am afraid. God says, I've not given you a spirit of fear. Come on, y'all. You got to confront the lies with the truth. You can't read the greatest self-help book in order to, you got to speak the word that's got life. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. It will cut, it will destroy, and it will heal. My Lord. Even Jesus, when he was tempted in the wilderness, he said, it is written, it is written, it is written. Come on, you all. If Jesus himself is having to speak the word back to all the enemies, to all the temptations, to all of Satan's traps, how much more do we need to speak the word back? God, it is written. God, what you say in your word, I can stand on, I can believe on, I can have it, I can become it, I can do it, I can walk in it. Why? Because you made me in your image. Come on. Somebody on the inside of you got to stand up on the inside of you and recognize that we are in an all-out war. Yeah, it's a physical war. There's some craziness happening around our world. My heart is broken for moms and dads that are mourning yet another shooting at a school. Oh, Lord, give us the courage to do something. Lord, give us the courage to do something. God, give us the courage, God, to stand up. Give us the courage, Lord, to confront lies with truth. God, give us the church to welcome the hurting, the broken, the dysfunctional. God, give us the church. Lord, no matter what you've walked through, you won't be identified by that. You'll be identified by the image of God. Because God doesn't make anything that's not. God doesn't make anything that's not. The last thing I want to leave you with. So first, you got to identify. Second, you got to confront with the word. Third, you've got to replace whatever lie is on the inside of your mind with the truth. The last one, which is probably the hardest, is we have to guard the truth. Here's what I know. That if I don't choose to feed this soul, if I don't choose to feed this soul, there's a scripture in Proverbs that says that out of my heart, what speaks? My mouth. If I don't choose to guard, somebody shout the word guard. If I don't choose to guard what's coming in, guess what's gonna come out? If I don't choose to guard what's coming into my ears, what's coming into my eyes, the people that I surround myself with, listen, you all, the Bible says iron sharpens iron. I must be around people that when I rub on, they make me sharper. Somehow, someway, the thing that I lack in my life, you rub off on me, I rub off on you, and we both become more like him. Amen? I have to guard the truth. Because here's the key. Here's the key. That our identity is the core of who you and I are. Everything that you do, everything that you attempt, it's birthed out of who you are. Amen? Amen. If we can ever somehow, some way, grab a hold of the fact that God doesn't make mistakes. We got to guard the truth. We have to submit ourselves to God. We have to resist the enemy. That's why I love that book that we gave to our graduates. I just finished reading that book. By the way, I'm not an avid reader. I start a lot of books, but I don't finish them. This particular book was so good. Don't give the enemy a seat at your table. It's all birthed out of Psalm 23. It's an incredible book, by the way. I encourage you to go buy it and read it. It's all about this war that happens on the inside of this. It's all about this war that happens on the inside of your thought life, that somehow, someway, if I can get more of God and less of Tim, if I can get more of God in terms of who I am, that somehow I will shut the doors of the enemy's voice in my head. Amen? Here's what I know. That if we're going to step in as sons and as daughters, you got to know who you are. You got to know who you are. I speak that over our church this morning. Right where you're sitting, will you just bow your head and close your eyes? I speak that over our church right now. Young people that are struggling in who they are because of what somebody did to them or didn't do for them. I speak that over single moms and single dads, widows. I speak that over divorced men and women in the sound of my voice this morning. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, with nobody moving around, just give me a few more minutes. I speak that over, I speak right now, Father, the voice, your voice in the souls of your people this morning. God, I'm asking you this morning to come and bring your scalpel. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come right there where they're sitting, God. Lord, will you speak to your kids? God, will you shut the mouth of the enemy and his lies? That I'm not worthy. I have no value. I'm hopeless. God, will you speak on the inside of your people that, God, I will never be loved. It's a lie. It's a lie. God, will you speak to your people? Is this the best it's going to get in my marriage, my finances, my physical body? Jesus, will you come and bring truth? Truth has a name. His name is Jesus. Truth is a person. His name is Jesus. Come on, Jesus. I feel your presence right now speaking to your people. Come on, just 60 seconds, just right where you're at. Nobody moving around, nobody leaving. Watching online, shut out what you're doing. Find a quiet place. Jesus. Jesus. Hello, my name is Good. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm made in your image, God. I'm a child of God. Come on, all over this room. If there's a voice that's been lying to you, if you're backslidden, you're away from God, if you've never made Jesus your Lord and your personal Savior, if there's been a voice on the inside of your mind that has been lying about who you are because of what somebody did to you, what you have done, what the world around you, your circumstances, your situations has done, and today you want to make a bold declaration to say, no more. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Who are you? Stand to your feet. Come on. You want to shut the mouth of the enemy. Come on, you want to shut the mouth of the enemy. There's no shame here. There's no shame here. Come on, I'm going to wait. I'm going to wait just another minute or two. Come on, if you've been hearing from a voice that doesn't sound like Daddy God, if there's been a lie that's been put on the inside of your mind, your heart, your soul, if there's a lie that's been spoken about who you are, if there's a lie that's been spoken about who God has made you, if there's a lie, come on, I'm waiting just a few more minutes. I'm going to work on some of y'all. If there's a lie that says what you can become, if there's a lie that says, I will never do this, I'm telling you, there's a moment right now in the name of Jesus, if you will be honest, if you will confront that lie, the voice of the enemy will shut his mouth. I'm speaking to a woman right now. You have been believing a lie because of what your mama told you, that you'll never measure up. You'll never step into what God's called you to do. You'll never become it. And actually, you're a church girl. I'm telling you, I take authority over that lie right now. I speak truth. His name is Jesus over you. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning. In the name of Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. 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 Come on, if you're standing up, will you meet me down front? Ministry team, come as well with them. Come on, meet me down front. I want to pray over you. There's healing in this room right now. Come on, there's healing in this room right now. Come on, come quickly. Come on, come quickly. Come on, I feel really the power of God right now. Come on, just take another step closer. Come on, ministry team. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's just stand. Everybody having somebody behind them. Come on, I feel the weight of God right now. Woo! Come on, Jesus. Come on, if you're in your seat, will you stand to your feet right now? Come on, we didn't come here to watch church. We came here to be the church. There's a real moment right now happening. Come on, if you pray in the Holy Spirit, just point your hands up this way, church. Come on, let's set the atmosphere. Let's set the atmosphere. Come on, there's something supernatural that's going to be happening right now. Come on, there's something supernatural happening right now. Come on, point your hands up this way. Come on, God's going to do a healing on the inside. God is going to arrest the voices. God is going to shut the lie of the enemy right now in the name of Jesus. 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 Father, we speak right now. Come on, church, pray. Father, we speak right now life, hope, healing, destiny, purpose. Lord, we speak right now, God, for every voice that doesn't line up to your voice. God, we speak right now, God, to truth. 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 Come on, there's healing happening right now. Come on, Holy Spirit. Come on, Holy Spirit. We take authority over abuse. We take authority over, Lord, we take authority over every sexual issue, Lord. Lord, every identity issue, every emotional scar, God. Lord, we take authority right now, Father God, over hopelessness in the name of Jesus. Come on, ministry. Come on, start praying for them. Come on, we release you right now in the name of Jesus. Come on, church, just lift your hands. Stretch your hands this way. Father, we speak healing right now. 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 Right now in the name of Jesus. 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 We release right now. Jesus, you come and heal. Lord, you come and restore. You come and make new. Right now, right now, right now, right now, right now, right now. Come on, sing, you guys. Come on, worship team. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Broke the chains when love came.
Oh, come on, Lord. Come on, we release right now, healing right now. We speak healing right now in the name of Jesus. You shut every open door right now in the name of Jesus. We speak doors to be closed in our minds, our hearts, our souls. Be healed. Come on, church. Point your hands. Say, be healed. Be healed. Be healed. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed in Jesus' name. Be healed and be whole. Be well.